indefinable what comes to your mind when you think about prayer. When you hear the word prayer, some of you go back to the growth that you had when you were, maybe you grew up in a tradition where part of prayer was actually repeating prayers that had been written by somebody else. Sometimes you had these little beads that you probably actually used to help you go through those prayers. And there were so many prayers that you had to pray to be right with God. And God would forgive you for a sin that you had committed. But I mean, no, prayer is quite different if you look at Scripture. I like to call it, prayer is walking with God. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, how many know God created them perfect? They were perfect human beings. They were the specimen that you and I were called to be. But the problem is that they disobeyed God. They went on their own walk and found themselves walking away from God instead of walking with God. In fact, the Bible says that God would come into the eating pool of the night or the evening, and he would actually walk with Adam and Eve. Imagine what that would have been like to walk with God. What would it have been like to walk with God in the magnificence of who he is? To know him for who he is. Not just to know things about him, but to know him in a personal way. How many know you get to know a person on a walk? Imagine, how many of you have dogs? How many cat lovers do we have in here? Okay, we'll forgive you, but no. My wife happened to be allergic to cats, so that didn't work in our house, so we had dogs. And so our dog, his name is Pat, and I have a picture of him. But it's interesting that we say the word walk, and what did he do? He goes like this, and he wants to go on a walk with us. I don't know if he just has to go to the bathroom or what, but if he gets excited, in fact, we started saying the WLK, A-L-K, and he would go. He figured it out that walk means something. He loves walking so much with us, and obviously we have him on a leash. We put him on a leash because the leash helps him best protect him from running into the street, going across the alley where a car's coming, maybe even from being irritated by another dog and pursuing and getting into a deadly fight. These are the things that we do in the walk. And so I learned a lot about this whole area of walking because I used to not be a walker. But I began to walk with my wife. And we found that during those times of walking, first of all, you're getting exercise. And you say, Pastor, that's great. You get exercise. I didn't have to pay for a gym. I just go walking with my wife. And we found out that they found something beautiful about walking together in the same direction. It happens that you walk with somebody, you talk, you get to know that person, you begin to hear the things that are on their heart. Sometimes we pray together. We actually, like the way that Adam and Eve walked in the garden, we find ourselves walking with God together, it basically having a communion with him, conversations with him about the things that we're going through. Can I tell you something? It's very freeing. Not only is it freeing, but it's something super powerful that happens because you're not alone. One of the greatest enemy tactics is to make you think that you're alone. That nobody cares for you, nobody loves you, but God is somehow so far away that the last thing he's thinking about is you. But can I tell you something? It's quite the opposite. God loves you so much in his perfect love. Not a love that we as humans have. Like, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. But we were made to walk with God. We were made to have a relationship that is fruitful, that is flourishing, because God has called every human being to flourish. However, there's a big problem. We like to go on our own walk. We like to do our own thing. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone our own way. That's why Jesus had to come to take our place, to live that perfect life that we were supposed to be living, but we couldn't because of sin. And God, through his mercy, came to this earth, died on a cross, paved the way for us to be able to walk with God again, to have a relationship with him. We all learn how to walk at some point in our life. We had to learn how to walk. Every one of us, I'm about ready to talk this stage. Every one of us basically learned how to walk. And I remember as parents, when our kids started walking, it was whoa! It's like almost like something we've never seen before in our lives. Like, you know, we're cheering, we're excited, we're jumping. Now we have grandkids, we have two grandkids, so we're like, wow, they're walking! Oh, wow! So we had to learn how to walk. The same thing happens when you and I come to Christ. When we surrender our life to Christ, we have to learn how to walk. We have to learn how to walk with the God who created us. You say, well, how do we do that? I'm going to talk to you today about how to walk with God. There's one person that comes to mind when I think about having a strong spiritual and walk with the Lord that's mentioned in Scripture. Maybe you've never even heard his name, but his name was Enoch. Say Enoch. Enoch was a man just like you and I, a human being who actually was the seventh from Adam. For he was, you know what I'm talking about, seventh generation from Adam, and then he had the sons and it went down. So let's take a read actually in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 to 24. What do we know about Enoch? There's three cases in Scripture. This is the first one where we see the name Enoch brought to light. And then we have two other ones, which is Hebrews. Not Hebrews. Hebrews. It's a word. It's a Scripture. It's basically a book written that gives us a lot of insight. And now you know, in it, there's the chapter 11 that's called the Hall of Faith. You know how they have the Hall of Fame, like, you know, with baseball and anything else, you know what I'm saying, in sports? This is like if you were to walk into the sports arena of faith, of heaven itself, and you see in the annals of the hallways, you see the names of people that actually were people of faith. You and I can grow in our faith. You and I start by faith, and we need to learn how to walk in faith. We need to grow in our faith. How do you know? Our faith grows, the Scripture reveals, through difficulties, hard times. Who likes hard times here? Who likes trials? Who likes suffering? None of us do, but God uses suffering and allows for suffering in our lives to be able to test this thing called faith. And through that testing, it becomes strong. It's like purified like gold. It's purified like gold through the fire, and so our faith is tested as well. Well, let's take a read here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 to 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. It's the first time you see his name mentioned. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. As he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. This dude, called Enoch, didn't even have to die. He didn't have to go through this thing that we call death in this world, in this broken world that we live in, this sin-filled world that we live in, and brokenness. And he didn't even have to face and experience this thing called death, because God took him instantly into his presence. And how amazing would that be? I mean, there's another guy, too. Elisha was the prophet. You see also that the chariots that came down and took him. They were walking with God in such a way that they were taken. Now, I know some of you are being cut off also with the years that these people lived. What? 160 years? How come I can't live 160 years? Would you want to live in this earth that many years from this brokenness that we're experiencing? And what happens is, after you know what's interesting too? Noah is related to Enoch. The steward just says he's like a grandson, a great grandson of actually Noah himself. And you know what's known about Noah too? That he walked with God. He walked with God. Which means several things. One is that your life matters today, and how you walk with God matters. Making the decision to intentionally walk with God matters because you're going to affect generations that you'll never know. No one never probably met his great-great-grandfather. But one thing we can know, that he walked with God, and through that, the world was spared from total destruction. Because God looked upon the earth and he found one righteous man. Righteous means that you're living right before God. When you're living rightly before God, I believe God wants to do a lot of things in your life and my life. But the one thing that will happen, there's so many scripture verses that talk about draw near to me and what? I will draw near to you. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's all these things that are it, that if we follow him, go after him with all of our heart, God will draw near. He will do amazing things among us. And part of it is not seeing prayer as just a duty, but seeing prayer as a walk with him. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6 talks about the second way we see it. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. So before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, they give us the insight into this whole thing. And without faith, it is impossible. If you have your Bible, write it down there. Impossible. Underline it. Impossible to please God. The only one true way to please God, live a righteous life and walk in holiness before him is what? By faith. We can't do anything in our own strength or power. It's trusting in his promises and standing on his promises and taking them as though they were already done and living our lives in light of that. It says, because anyone who comes to him, what? Must believe that what? He exists. Maybe you're doubting if God exists today. Maybe you're questioning and you're hearing the wording of other people around you. I don't know if God really exists. You're listening to Google. All the things online. All the lies online. That says there's only one source that we get our faith from. It's the Word of God. That's where the source of our faith is. That's what strengthens our faith. You say, but I listen to so many preachers online. Don't take everything for its worth. Be rooted in faith, in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God builds our faith. Knowing that he exists, believing that he exists, first of all, and that he rewards those who what? Earnestly seek him. Some of you say, I prayed once, and God didn't do anything. This doesn't really work. See, you're looking for a real big stick. That doesn't work. God sees your heart. He sees your thoughts. He sees your actions. So why? Let's get serious about following God. And let's get real about our faith and say, God, I am born again of your Spirit by your grace and your mercy. I didn't deserve it. But because of you, I am walking with you. I want to learn how to walk with you. And then there's another one, and Enoch is also mentioned in Jude. Jude chapter 4, well, there's one chapter, so they don't even have chapters. Verse 14 says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. Who's he speaking about that? He's speaking about all the wicked people in the world, the people that were infiltrating his church, that said good things about them, but they didn't have a real faith. They were like clouds without rain. It's basically exposing that, but he's prophesying. This is what he says about Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. Seeing the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words that godly sinners have spoken against them. The interesting thing about this is that he was lived so long ago, but he's prophetically laying it out. He was walking with God. When you walk with God, God gives you insight. When you walk with God, God gives you understanding of what's happening in the world. How many know the world's going to get worse? It's not going to get better. No politics is going to save us. No education is going to save us. Can't tell you, we're more educated than ever. We're worse off than we were before. And it's not that education is bad, but what it is that we were made for God. You were made for God. You were made for God. You were made to walk with Him. You were made to converse with Him. You were made to walk in relationship with Him. That void in your life that you've been trying to fill with so many other things, can I tell you something? It can't be filled. Nothing else fits there. You can try to put different things in your life and fill your life with relationships and sex and drugs and everything, friendships. Can I tell you something? It won't fill you. It only satisfies your soul. It's coming and it hurts. As I said before, Genesis 6:9 is a passage, if you want to look at it, where it talks about Noah. Noah walked with God. But see, walking with God is not about having a perfect life. There's no perfection on this side of heaven. I mean, we say amen. It doesn't mean that we continue to sin. What avoids all those things is walking with God. Learning how to converse with God. Learning how to walk with God in intentionality. It's like taking a walk with someone, that I've mentioned before. There's something about taking a walk with someone. When you walk with someone, you are going in the same direction. You are spending time together. You are close enough to talk. You adjust your pace to one another. Walking isn't about arriving quickly. It's about the moment of the time. Are you intentional about walking with God? Walking is about a relationship along the way. That's what makes the story of Enoch so fascinating to me as I was studying. Genesis doesn't tell us that God built a great empire. It doesn't tell us that he became wealthy. It doesn't tell us that he was famous. It doesn't even tell us a long list of accomplishments that he had in his life. But think about it. He lived 300 years beyond the 67 or 65 that he had. There's no accomplishments, no accolades, nothing in his life, and nothing much tells him about it. The one phrase that describes his life, Enoch walked faithfully with God. It's not just about walking with God. It's about faithfully walking with God. You know, when I think about the word faithful, I think about, I turn the words around. I don't know if I'm dyslexic or anything like that, but I just take the word, I think faithful, full of faith. So, real genuine faith is when we believe God, and full faithfulness comes as we believe God for what He says. And our life is full of His presence, full of his care and His longing, and a longing for our hearts for Him. And this is actually, this phrase summarizes His life in one little sentence. My question to you is, if somebody took your life right now and they actually summarized your life, what would they summarize your life? This is a person who left Bahamas. This person who was so successful in his business. Man, this person, he built the biggest neighborhood in the whole world, and man, he did great things then. But then he lost his family, and he was separated from God. How empty is life itself without walking with God? Walking with God is all about our life. So what does it look like to walk with God all day? Walking well is what we can learn from this passage. First one is that walking with God means I make God the goal and direction of my life. There is no other direction. I have one pursuit. We have one goal. I love what the Apostle Paul said. For me to live is, to die is gain, right? For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. So in other words, I'm not losing. I'm not a loser because I have taken everything in my life, all my pursuits of being at the top of the religious order there in Jerusalem, or maybe even possibly being the high priest there represented. You see, I give all that up. I consider it nothing. I consider it manure for the sake of knowing Christ. You see, you start living with that focus, then it's going to change your life. It's going to impact your life. You say, I want more fire. I want more God. Can I take him? Walk with him. I want God to do miracles. Walk with him. I want to see God set my marriage free and heal my marriage. Walk with him. I want my team to walk with God. Walk with him. Walk with God. And then what happens? You become like Jesus. When you walk with God and you follow Christ, you become like him. You start listening to him. You read his word. You become serious about the things that bring transformation. The question is, what are you investing in your life? You can invest our whole life in things that don't really matter. And then after we wake up one day, what are you going to do with my life? It's time to wake up to the reality that we were made to walk with God Almighty. We either didn't simply visit God, we walked with God. Ask yourself this question, where's my life actually headed right now? You can believe in God and still walk in completely different directions. You can attend church and still be walking away from God. You can know scripture and still walk according to your own sinful, selfish desires. You can say, Lord, Lord, while your life is going somewhere else. You can even do miracles in his name. You can cast demons out in his name. Isn't that what Jesus said when he was asked about that? And he said, the Lord, we cast demons in your name. Who are you? Look behind you. Because see, it's not in the person that there's power. It's in the name of Jesus. And so you find yourself, if you want to live an adventure life with God, start walking with him. Walking with God means saying, God, wherever you are going, that's where I want to go. Wherever you're leading, that's where I go. I've been asked to do some crazy stuff, but through that, I've seen God use those crazy experiences of forgiving someone that I didn't want to forgive. Of releasing somebody from something that they horribly said to me, I release them. Forgive them. Walking with God means that we become like him. Did God forgive our sin and say, listen, I can forgive you for this, this, and this, but this? God said, no. He forgives us all our sin. And we stand righteous before him through the blood of Jesus. Can I clarify something too? It's not your walking that makes you righteous. It's what Jesus did on the cross that makes us righteous. And the work that he did on the cross is for us. So walking with God means I make God the goal and direction of my life. Secondly, walking with God means that I commit to develop a daily relationship with God. The same way that you go to work. Set an appointment with God. I said, but Pastor, I'm too busy. So, come on. How many in the way like you are? How many binges do you have on your Netflix and all those other things? How much time do you spend on your potato cards? You see, if you have it, we all have 24 hours in the day, but how do we spend them? How do we use them? How do we invest them? So walking with God means that I commit to develop a relationship daily with God. Every morning, my wife and I get up. We get a cup of coffee, no matter what the day looks like. We get a cup of coffee. How many coffee drinks do you have? Hallelujah. So keeping your wife right now from this pastor who's talking too much right now. But you know what? I drink coffee, but you know, we get the Word of God. We have one devotional that we have. I have two. I do two devotionals. Like I just read one. We have one for a day. And I just ask the Lord, speak to me. Speak today. I want to hear from you today, God. I know we sometimes pray together, sometimes we pray apart, but that's what our plan is. Every day we seek him. That tells us something important about Enoch's walk, that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Our relationship with God isn't supposed to be limited to Sunday. Our relationship with God is supposed to be every day of the week. God isn't interested in being a weekly appointment. He wants a relationship. Paul, like I said, spend time in conversations with him. It's not just a one-way monologue. My wife likes to say it this way. She says, you know, if you go out with somebody to eat and drink coffee, and all that person does is always talk and never listen, it becomes a monologue. And the question is, are you going to go out with that person again? The answer is no. I mean, who loves to hear a monologue? Relationship means that you converse, that you talk, that you listen to one another. It's the same thing with prayer. We throw our burdens, we cast our burdens upon God, but we also listen to Him. God, what are you saying to me right now? Can I tell you, let me give you an example. We've been going through a season right now of transition, of moving. And it's been crazy. And one of the guys that's been helping us navigate this, one day, it's kind of interesting, so I don't have time to get into the whole story, but what's interesting about it is this. He said he was feeling burdened about helping. Here I'm helping him to get it. I was taking a lot of his time. And calling him, we were on the phone a long time, and trying to get things lined up with buying a house and different things. And so he goes, I was complaining to God. He's a friend of mine. I was complaining to God. All my time is going to AFIL, my dad. Like, and he complained to God, and God spoke to him and said, what? Take care of my son, AFIL. And when I heard that, I was like, yes, take care of me, Lord. Take care of me, Ralphie. No, I'm kidding. But it was kind of so, you know what I felt? I felt so loved by God when I heard that. That God told this guy to help me. Because I don't know what I'm doing when it's that kind of stuff. And God was just so kind. I felt God's kindness. I felt His love for me. I felt that God is going ahead of me. It was just an amazing day. That's what it means to walk with God. That you see and you begin to see all of life. All the things that are happening around you. Good, bad, hard. All these things. But God, you have a purpose. Didn't that Romans 8 say that? That all things work out for the good of those who what? Love Him. And are called according to Christ. So the prerequisite. You love God. You love God. Who loves God here? Then you are walking with Him. Learn that everything is working out for His glory and your good. So in His word, worship God, or obedience, okay, does God ask you to do something? You want to start walking with God in a real way? Obey. Because really, disobedience, that's what people think, like, okay, you're not really walking with me. My direction is here. Forgive this person. I mean, someone can have a hard time forgiving. Is there somebody in your life that God is saying, I want you to forgive? Because if you don't understand what that person has done to my life, what they did to my life, they destroyed my life. Can I tell you something? All things work out for the good of those who love you. And I call the point of His purpose. If God is asking you to forgive, you are keeping yourself in prison by resisting God and disobeying Him and the fact of basically forgiving that person. It's also listening, trusting. It's repenting when we need to repent and asking forgiveness when we need to forgive and ask for and forgive others. It's having a conversation with God. It's really thinking like a friendship. It's a friendship with God. Isn't it interesting that God basically told, he basically said this about Abraham. He says, he is my friend. Now, can you say that about God right now? He's my friend. And then, I don't know about you, but it irks me. When I'm at work or in different places, somebody uses God's name in vain. You're talking about my friend, man. What if you did that at work? I think about my friend that way. Let's see what happens. Let me know. Relationships grow through consistent time together. That's what walking represents. You're together, you're thinking, you're talking, you're listening, you're learning each other, you're going in the same direction. I mean, I'm learning more about God every day. The more I walk with God, the more I've come to know Him and the wonder of who He is. But there is no end to God. He's magnificent in every way. Our words can't even describe Him. Application-wise, what would happen if you stopped asking, how much church am I attending? And started asking, how close am I walking with Jesus? You can sit in church every week and still be spiritually distant, but you can walk with God Monday through Saturday in the ordinary moments of life. At work, in the car. I know my best times are in the car sometimes worshiping Jesus as I drive. I need it. Especially my driving. My wife knows that. At home, while parenting, while making decisions, while changing a dirty diaper. Can I tell you that? You can have a conversation with God. You don't build a walk with God through occasional encounters, but through consistent companionship with Him. So walking with God means I take God the goal, I make God the goal and direction of my life. I commit to develop a daily relationship with God. Thirdly, walking with God means that I walk by faith, even when the world is moving in a different direction. The powerful thing about Enoch's story is that you see basically the progression in chapter 3, man falls into sin, and then you see that the whole world is basically going in a rebellious way against God. But in the midst of this craziness, Genesis 6:5 gives us the reality of what was happening. It says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. That's how it had gotten, and the culture had gotten that day. And it says that, but right in the middle of this mess, right in the middle of this crazy culture that he was living in, Enoch was living in, what does it say? Enoch walked with God. See, Enoch didn't need a godly culture to have a godly walk. Somebody say, well, I have a hard time living that. Some of us, we're undercover in our walk with God, aren't we? We go to church and we're like, oh, you go to high school, you're in high school, and you go, you know, you're throwing some bombs here, man. You're throwing some words. Just trying to fit in. I know, because that's how I find out, man. But I was in day school. And I was walking in the light already. I already knew God, and I started my walk with Him at a young age. But I wanted to fit in with the people, man. I wanted to fit in with the people around me. So, Matawala Sanifo Tashi. I remember throwing some cuss words, just talking in my language. And this kid, who wasn't even a believer, who didn't even know God, it's almost like God using this flappy thing. Basically, he said this. He said, aren't you a Christian? I felt like God was like, and you know what? That hurt. And that changed. Well, I didn't never try that again. I never tried to fit in. But see, sometimes we try to fit in so much. But even if the greatest need in our life is God, why are you trying to fit in anywhere else? And God purchases us with His precious blood, brings us into a family. We begin to walk in community. Think about the beauty of that. But God gives us a family. I became even closer to people that were part of the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, than I did with my own blood family. And why? How is that? It's because Jesus birthed us. We're born again of God's Spirit into a family. So when we walk together, we're not walking alone. We're walking with God, but we're also walking in community. It means that we walk by faith even when the world is moving around us in a different direction. And we find great strength. And man, being part of New Life, man, changed my life. I don't know if I'd be, I don't know where I'd be in my life if it wasn't for the fact that God brought us to this little place on 34th and Palomino and brought us into community of people that really were seeking to walk with God. That's where I learned how to walk with God. God kept using situations and circumstances to do that in our life. See, basically, Enoch walked with God in a culture that was walking away from God. And as we see, it said he was a man of faith. He was walking with God. And then we know that the ingredient is this: and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you believe that he exists? Then walk with him. And then he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Learn how to seek him. Go after him in your life. If you can't, be faithful when others aren't. So application-wise, we often think if the culture were different, following God would be easier. But Enoch teaches us something different. You don't need the world around you to be walking with God in order to, for you to walk with him. Believe me, I was waiting to go to college, to Moody Bible Institute, and I was working a summer job, and it came out that, in conversations, I ended up doing a job in a community college in Arizona, and that's the only job I could find. And I was with a bunch of dirty old men. And they had garage, and I had to go into the garage and get tools and different things to go out and drive my truck. I tried to stay out of that place because they had, calendars. Back then, they had calendars, and I'm like, I don't want to know what that date is. They had, it was basically pornography in your face. And so the conversation saw me kind of avoiding the place, and it came out that I never had that stuff. And boy, the whole summer, they started saying stuff, they started teasing me, they started, but you know what? I learned to be okay with it. I learned to be walking with God. I learned that my favor with God is much more important than anything else in my life. My love for God has grown as I've walked with him to see his faithfulness. He's taken care of me through different seasons. He's protected me from temptation. He walked with me along the road. And I know that it's because of him that I stand here today. But you don't need the world around you to be walking with God in order to walk with him. Learn how to walk alone. When nobody else is following. When nobody else seems to be talking about God, you spend time walking with God. Maybe on your lunch break, instead of eating your lunch there, go outside and maybe go on a walk with God. Spend time seeking him during the season of praying. Spend time focusing on getting to know him. See, you can be faithful when others aren't. You can remain pure when others compromise. You can speak truth when others reject it. And you can forgive when others hold grudges. You can pursue holiness when the culture celebrates sin. You can follow Jesus when following Jesus isn't popular. See, your environment doesn't have to determine the direction of your life, right? Our direction has already been laid out. We're called to follow Christ, to walk in his ways. So walking with God means that I make God the goal and direction of my life, that I commit to develop a daily relationship with God, that I walk by faith even when the world is moving in a different direction. And lastly, walking with God starts by believing he exists and trusting him on my journey. As you see in Hebrews, Enoch walked with God, and what proved God was the fact that he was a man of faith. Which means that he intentionally was pursuing God, he was walking with God, he believed God for what he said, and he sought after God. He went after God. He earnestly sought him. Those are the two things that we see that could get us and help us get to that place. That we believe that he exists. And if he exists, I want to walk with him. If he exists, I want to pursue him. I want to go after him with all my heart, soul, and mind. Isn't that the greatest commandment that we see in Scripture? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what it's all about. Let's not make it complicated. There's no list of do's and don'ts. When you walk with God, he'll let you know. When you walk with God, you're convicted by his Holy Spirit. And you know what's even more powerful for us living today than Enoch? is that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. You can't leave God on the shelf. You can't leave him locked up in your room. That's not a good party. I'm going to party tonight. You got the Holy Spirit inside. How many know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Grieving means that we do something that grieves him. How many of God hurts when we go a different way? But what if you learn how to walk with him? And we talk to him and grow in our faith and our walk with him. Our life will be transformed. You continue to walk with God. You say, I want God to transform my life like this. Okay. It's a process. The process is called sanctification. God sets us apart in our life as we walk with him. Continue to walk with him. See, you cannot walk with someone you don't trust. Walking with God begins by believing that God is who he says he is. It begins with faith. It begins with surrender. It begins with Jesus. The gospel, the good news, the goal isn't simply to try harder to walk with God. The gospel is Jesus came to bring us back into relationship with God. Maybe there's somebody here that you come to church because your boo drag you in. You come to church because maybe your parents are forcing you to come because you live in their house. Don't tell you something, what if you learn how to pursue God? Jesus came to bring us back into relationship with God. Our sins separated us from God. Jesus came, lived a life we could not live, died the death we deserved, and rose again so that we could be reconciled to God. Reconciled is a big word that brings us back into a relationship with God. Are you far from God? This could be the day that you begin this journey of walking with God. I believe God wants to speak to you today. God wants to talk to you today. Because we don't walk with God to become his children. We walk with him because through Jesus, we are his children. As we wrap up, you say, Pastor, how do I do this in a fast way? I mentioned it throughout the message, but I want to just kind of highlight them really quickly. One is talk to God. Prayer keeps us connected to the one who will walk your way. Don't make prayer complicated. Talk to God through your day, throughout your day. God, help me. How many, God, help me, do I? Oh, God, help me. How much, God, give me wisdom. How many know you're making a decision? God, give me wisdom right now. God, forgive me. God, thank you. God, what do you want me to do now? Then you also listen to God. You can't walk with God while ignoring his voice. Open his word. Read scripture. Meditate on it. Let God's words shape your thinking. Let Psalms 119:105 be the verse that God uses. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Don't just talk to God, listen to God, but obey God. Determine to obey God immediately. Walking with God means moving when God says move. Sometimes you don't need another sermon. We need to be obedient. Forgive them already. Make the call. Tell the truth. If you lied, make it right. Confess it. End the compromise. You've been compromising your life. End it. And immediately obey God in what he's asking you to do. Maybe some of you have been, need to give generously. You want other people to think that you're generous, but you're stingy. You're holding on. You're fearful of what the future holds. Your future, and you say, you look at the time. Again, the world system works differently. God sees. And even if, like it says in Scripture, Jesus was, even if he said Jesus went to the temple, you know, he did, he stood by the offering. They were good. And this little widow comes, not a little spider, a woman. A widow came, and she had, she gave all that she had. She gave a penny. Less than pennies, man. She gave, and then, of course, the rich came with a big old bag. You know, and they wanted, and here's the thing. She gave, and she walked away, the other one. Ting, 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 ting. You know what that Jesus says to the woman? He gave. That's great. That's what I'm talking about. So, he's giving sometimes from the heart. Giving what you sometimes can't even afford to give. And then trusting because he gave all that he had. He was trusting and saying, God, I trust you with my giving. So obey God. So not only talk to God, listen to God, obey God. Stay close to God's people. We're not meant to walk alone. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 talks about as long as it's called today, you know, there's encouraging one another. But it also talks about not forsaking the assembling together. That, you know, I made a decision long ago. I don't wake up on Sunday morning and say, can I go to church today? You know what we also do nowadays? People watch it online. Watching it online is not the same. I'm not having any issues with sick in bed with a high fever, contagious rashes. Yeah, stay home. But here's what I'm saying. We need each other. The countless times that I've come to church, I came discouraged by left so encouraged. Because somebody prayed for me. Somebody in a conversation, God spoke to me about something I was going through. That other person sometimes doesn't even know. But man, God encouraged myself. But give me fresh courage to keep going forward and walking with God. We need that. God often uses other believers to help us keep walking when we're tired. The question is, who's walking with you? If you're not involved in life group that's going to be starting up soon, man, get involved. Jump in. Be intentional about that. And the last thing is keep going. You're not walking with God for 300 years. Do you think your life is long? He offered 300 years and he kept walking faithfully, persevering. So within the 300 years, there's perseverance. Some days the walk is exciting. How many are excited? Woo! Going to Great America. Woo-hoo. Some days you walk in excitement. Some days it's exhausting. Some days you feel God's presence. How many know some days you feel nothing? But faithfulness means I keep going no matter what. Keep walking. You don't have to run. You don't have to have everything figured out. But just keep walking with God. And I believe God wants to do something supernatural in us. Today could be the beginning of seeing the context of prayer as not just doing a duty, putting off a checklist, and saying, God, I want more of you.